You're listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, your podcast for one-on-one Mets conversations.
What's up, Mets fans? I'm Matt Cerrone. Thanks for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi. To kick off the 2000 Mets season, Citi has wrapped a limited number of Mets-themed Citi Bites. So when you spot one, snap a picture and share it on Twitter or Instagram using the hashtag CityPerkSweepstakes to enter for a chance to win great prizes, like throwing out the ceremonial first pitch at a Mets game. For official rules, prizes, and details, visit Mets.com/CityPerkSweepstakes. Today I'm talking with, and I'm thrilled about this, Gary Thorne, who currently broadcasts with the Orioles on Masson, but he was alongside Bob Murphy back in the day in the 80s calling Game 6 of the 1986 World Series. Gary and Bob, along with on-air TV guys, Ralph Kiner and Tim McCarver, I mean, these four were the people that sort of introduced me to baseball in the mid to late 80s. I loved every second of what these guys were doing. Obviously had an impact on me because I work in media, sports media now, and I love the Mets, and I'm doing what I do, and I think, part of that is in what I learned and sort of the passion that came through with what they do. And so in honor of Thursday night, WOR is doing a rebroadcast of the 1986 Game 6 World Series broadcast with Murph and Gary. So figured let's get Thorne on. I've never talked to him before, so I wanted to get him on the phone, talk a little bit about that broadcast, talk to him about Murphy, because, man, how could you not? And some of the other stuff that went around that team back in the late 80s. So know that SNY.TV now makes all of our podcasts. This one, our shows about the Jets and the Knicks and the Rangers, everything New York sports, you can find on our SNY.TV audio network. You could search for it on iTunes. Wherever you listen to podcasts, just search SNY.TV audio network. You'll find it. Check out the TKB podcast this week, the one on the Knicks. They do a lot on Jeff Hornacek, obviously, and it's really good. So anyway, with that, here's my interview with Gary Thorne, who, alongside Bob Murphy, broadcast Game 6 of the 1986 World Series, which you could check out in its entirety Thursday night, May 26th on WOR Radio. I wanted to talk with you because I don't know if you know, but here in New York, in honor of the Mets celebrating their championship at Citi Field, WOR is re-airing Game 6 from that year's World Series, which obviously anyone listening to this knows you called alongside Bob Murphy. Before we get into the game and that broadcast, tell me a little bit, if you have some time, just tell me a little bit about what Murphy meant to you as a broadcaster. Obviously, as a fan, I loved him, but for you as a professional, I mean, what did you learn most from working alongside him?
Oh, I've always thought Bob probably had the most focus of any announcer I've ever known. Bob could stay completely focused on a game from beginning to end, and never wavered on that. And that's not easy, especially in this day and age as games get longer. The mind can wander a little bit. That never happened with Bob. He stayed completely in the game for the entire time of it. And he was always a professional about it. I mean, I guess we're old school in that regard, but it was never, we and they. We were broadcasting a baseball game of the Mets, and that's how they were referred to. It wasn't that either Bob or I, didn't want them to win. As we always said, it's a lot easier and more fun doing winners and losers. But it was kept at a professional level, and I learned that from Bob immediately. And most importantly to me, I mean, I was coming out of Maine. Nobody knew who I was. Bob was absolutely, completely accepting of me, introduced me to everybody in the business, whom he, of course, knew, all of them, and could not have been more supportive. And that's why Bob became not only a broadcast partner, but a real friend.
I've listened to your call of that game before, and the thing that always sticks out to me is when you talk about Buckner still being on the field as if you were like Nostradamus in that moment. What do you remember as that game and as that inning was unfolding? What stands out to you in hindsight now when you look back on it?
Well, the fact that it was such an incredible inning that was so unlikely. I mean, even then Bob and I both looked at each other and, it was like, you get a shot, but it's not very likely that you're going to overcome the deficit here. And then to have it unfurl the way it did and to continue even beyond the ground ball, but that you got to score another one to win, and they did. You knew right away, you knew in the moment that this was one of the most exceptional baseball games you were ever going to see, because this kind of a conclusion to a game just doesn't happen. And so once in a lifetime, maybe you get something like this in this kind of a setting where you're in the World Series. And I think we both knew right then, this is just one of those moments, and we're very fortunate to be here and be a part of it. And it was kind of immediate that you knew that was the situation.
You mentioned before that about being professional and keeping yourself separate from the team, and I respect that and understand it. In a moment like that during a game, you know, you've been with the team the whole year. You've been broadcasting in the ins and outs. You're invested to a certain extent. Do you look at each other those moments as things are unfolding? And are you getting excited? Are you nudging one another like, oh my God,
look at this? We're looking at one another, and we were staring at one another at the moment when we had a moment after the play was done, and like it was an oh my God moment. And we both knew it, and we both looked at each other, and this was like, you know, this can't be happening. And after you follow the team, you are. Absolutely, you want them to win. I mean, you're professional in the air and the way you present it, but in your soul, I mean, you've been with these guys now we broadcast over 200 games that year. Yeah. And you're invested, and it's part of what you want to happen, because you know the chances of getting here again are very unlikely to get into the World Series, much less win it. And so, yeah, we're looking at each other like this can't be happening. This is just unbelievable. And you kind of step out of the picture, and you're looking in now at something going on that you can't believe. And that was really, I think that was a beautiful part of being there, was that there was a moment for Bob and I where we just kind of took ourselves out of the broadcast part of it, and as a fan looking at what was going on, and said, this is incredible.
That's always, you know, I love, that's one of the things I've always loved about radio, is that there's an intimacy between the listener and you guys sort of being in our ears. There's a different connection than being distracted by what you're watching on the television. And I always appreciated that. I mean, I grew up with you guys, like that was my formative baseball year. I'm the cliche with the radio under my pillow, you know, tell my parents to go. So I think that's one of, and I what I love is that hearing you say that acknowledges to me what I think I kind of know, which is you hear that excitement and that sort of connectivity between the broadcaster and the fan, I think is important, and you guys did that really well. I think the current Mets radio team actually does it really well. Is that something that you're consciously aware of, or is that just happen because you have to be so descriptive and you're talking so much? I mean, how does that happen? Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm explaining that right.
I mean, I think you're conscious of it, okay. But it does, to me, that's the difference between those who get these jobs and those who don't, frankly. Mm. It's the difference between the Willie Mays and the guy who never gets out of AA. I mean, it's something that's in you, that's there, that you hone and work on as part of your career. But you can't put it in there. You can't put that connection. You can't put that internal excitement. You can't teach that. You can only work on it and make it better. It's either there or it isn't. And Bob had that. I mean, I hope I have that. It's real. It has to be real. If it's not real, if you're just doing a shtick, it ain't going to work because the season's too long. You can't shtick it out for 162 games. You just can't do it. And so you've got to, and that's what fans realize. And the broadcasters, I think fans like, are the ones that they know are being sincere about what they're doing, that the interest is real, the excitement is real, and what they're saying is honest, and what they're really seeing. As Bob put it, you paint the picture. I mean, that's the beauty on radio. You get to paint the picture. You are what the fan sees, just like you say, that's the connection that you have, and if you're doing that, and you're doing the technical part of it, the painting of the picture well, and you're doing it with emotion and sincerity, then you get a broadcast that I think people like. And I hope that's what Bob and I had. I think that's what came through to the fans, and that makes it for us success.
Going back to the game quick, one last thing. I mean, is that, you've done a lot since, obviously. Is that still, I mean, is that one of the most memorable moments of your career? Is it the most memorable, or where does it sort of stack up?
Yeah, I would have to say it's the most memorable. It's not just that game. That game's a part of, and a huge part of, a whole season, a tremendous playoff year, the Houston series, which doesn't get the attention it should because it was an unbelievable series, but it gets overshadowed by the World Series. But that whole season and everything that went with it will always be probably the pinnacle of what I would want to be and want to do as a broadcaster. I was fortunate to be there. I mean, I got to be there with Bob. I got to be there with a ball club that was just great to be around. I mean, I still have friends from that team that I see and consider friends to this day. It was that kind of a setting that you were in. It was a, you know, it was a family setting, and these guys worked their butts off the entire year to achieve what they achieved, and you got to see it day in and day out. So yeah, it's there. It's at the top.
Lastly, I think I remember you once telling a story. I actually think it was Bob Murphy's eulogy. I think it's the ballpark. I'm not sure. Where you mentioned talking about spending time with Murph and Ralph Kiner, listening to them talk baseball. I can't imagine what that was like. It sounds amazing. Can you just kind of take me to that and explain to me how that, what that was like sitting there listening to the two of them? Because I'm sure that was awesome.
Yeah, I always said the best seat at the bar after the game was the one between Ralph and Bob, which we did often, and which I am so thankful for having the opportunity to do. It was, I mean, you had two professional people who came at the game from a different angle. Ralph, of course, as the Hall of Fame player, the great home run hitter, in his day, as big a star as there was in sports. And I think people may not realize that, but Ralph was a big national star when he was playing, one of the first of the big home run hitters. And then on the other side, you've got Murph, the quintessential professional broadcaster. So when they sat down and started telling stories, it was the story of baseball, and it came from both sides. Bob remembered everything. I mean, Bob, and he remembered it right. Bob could tell stories that you could go back and do the fact check on it, and you'd find it was right on the money. And it would be funny because Ralph, less inclined to worry about the details and more inclined just to get out the story, and Bob would be correcting him on dates, or no, it was this guy was up, and it was funny. And they did it smiling, and they were great friends. And it was just wonderful to sit there and hear these stories of these tremendous players. Bob, who had started in New York, who was familiar with the Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants and the Yankees of that time in the city when it had all those teams. Ralph, who had played in that great era of baseball, you know, World War II and after. And you heard all of it. They knew the names from beginning of the 1900s forward to the current day, and I love sitting there. It was just a great experience.
Again, that was Gary Thorne of Masson, but former broadcast partner Bob Murphy, calling the 1986 Game 6 World Series, which you can hear in its entirety Thursday, May 26th on WOR at night. Thanks again for listening to the Mets Blog Q&A Cast presented by Citi. At Citi Field, the perks are delicious. Use your Citi card and get $2 off of Pat LaFrieda's original filet mignon sandwich all season long. Learn about other great Citi card member perks at Mets.com/Citi. We'll be back again next week with another Q&A. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend, and let's go Mets.
This has been the Mets Blog Q&A Cast, presented by Citi, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.